Welcome to the show, sir. Congrats on the new contract.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
You know, one of the things, we'll skip right to the end, and then we'll sort of go backwards, I suppose, PK. When the new contract was signed, the 8-year deal, you were pretty quick to come to the defense of your organization, your general manager. It seemed as if at every turn of this way, you chose to look at this as a part of an educational process for a young hockey player, as opposed to someone who might come in there and say, hang on a second, I've got a Norris Trophy in my hip pocket, it's time to pay me now. How important was it to you to make sure that as much as possible, everybody came out at the end of this in a relatively good light?
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, no matter what I think or anybody else think, the Montreal Canadiens have given me the opportunity to live out my dream and play in the NHL. So they gave me that opportunity in 2007, and it's been a great working relationship to date. And, working through this process, definitely was a positive experience for me. And like I said, an educational experience. I've learned a lot both about the CBA, about the game, and business-wise how things happen. So at the end of it, I know that both sides are happy that we got a long-term deal done, and we're looking forward to working together for at least minimum 8 years.
That said, I mean, you have called it an educational process, and we all saw you after the arbitration hearing, and it looked like someone took a poop in your Cheerios. Was the arbitration itself enlightening? Was it harsh? Was it friendly? What can you take us inside that room and give us at least an impression of what you went through?
Well, I don't know what people expect. I mean, maybe, the moment that I'm not kissing reporters, everybody thinks that there's something wrong. So, I wasn't upset by any means. It just so happened that I had been up at 6:30 in the morning, and I'd been in an arbitration hearing for 4 hours, so I was probably a little bit tired. But it was very educational, and to be honest with you, you're prepared for it. You know, in arbitration, the team's going to make its case, and it's not anything you haven't heard before as a player. So, I mean, I thought that the team was very respectful. I respected the process. I respected their views. They respected mine. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the most important thing is that we both wanted a long-term deal done. And that's what I chose to focus on. That's what we chose to deal with at the end of the day. It was best for both sides. And I'm just happy to have it done now. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go into details of the process and what was said, because it's irrelevant now. You know, we're moving forward on a basis where we're trying to win a Stanley Cup, and not give the media a story that is really irrelevant what's going to happen next for us moving forward.
And one of the stories now is going to be, and PK, we've seen this with a lot of hockey players, and specifically we've seen this with a lot of defensemen too. The first year when the player gets the humongous ticket, it almost seems as if there is an added pressure to do something sort of above and beyond, and you bring it sort of on yourself. You say to yourself, hang on, now I'm compensated at this level. I need to play better, perform better, and there's a stress that comes with that. How do you focus now just on playing hockey and not worry about what shows up every 2 weeks in your bank account?
Oh, well, first of all, you talk about added pressure. I don't know about added pressure. I mean, playing in Montreal, there's always pressure. So I don't see it as pressure. I see it as motivation, more importantly, and I don't feel like I need to change anything from what I'm doing other than continuing to get better, have an open mind on getting better. Continue to grow both as a player, as a person. That's all anybody asks, but obviously you want to perform. And, whether you're the highest paid player or you're in the middle or you're one of the lowest paid players in the league, your job is to go and perform well. So, regardless of what you're making. So for me, I mean, I don't think there's been a lack of attention when it comes to me playing in Montreal and, playing in that city. I think there's been a lot of attention over the years, a lot of things to talk about when it comes to the Montreal Canadiens, and especially myself. So it's nothing that I'm not used to already.
Was there a temptation to go to market? I mean, we saw what Taves got. We saw what Kane got. Your good friend Steven Stamkos is probably going to make the gross national product of Costa Rica when he gets his next deal. Was there a temptation to go to market and see exactly how much you could get from teams in open bidding?
Well, you know, there's the option. Obviously, I was aware of the opportunity of the fact that I was an unrestricted free agent in 2 years. But the reality is this: if you're happy where you are, you know, you want to win a Stanley Cup. I've had nothing but successful years since I've been in Montreal. The team has continued to grow and get better. I was happy in Montreal, so I wanted to remain there. You know, your agent's job is to make you aware of all your options, and obviously I was aware of that, but in the end, I chose not to look that route. I wanted to stay in Montreal and continue to try and build the team. I mean, there's something to be said for players that are drafted into organizations and have stayed there and help be a part of a team and build a team and win a championship. I don't think there's any better feeling than that.
I know you've got to hustle. You're on the ice here in a couple of minutes, but if I can, we can get a couple more questions in, that would be great. The rest of your summer now, as training camp starts to approach, what does it look like for PK Subban? At what point does the training really ramp up?
It's always ramped up. I don't think it ever really slows down other than right after the season. You know, usually take about a week and a half off, 2 weeks, and then start to slowly rebuild again. So I've been training now for at least 6 or 7 weeks, and you know, really now it's just about peaking at the right time and making sure that your body's ready to compete for 82 games. So I know that I'm about 6 weeks away from camp, and Montreal, we start September 14th. So I'm just strategically trying to get myself ready for training camp.
I have two fake controversy questions for you now. The first is, did you have any thoughts about there being any sort of backlash in Boston about Malcolm having rooted for you in the Montreal-Boston playoff series?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't even think Malcolm really cares. I mean, if you're not going to cheer for your brother, if you're not going to cheer for your brother when he's in the playoffs, I don't know who you're supposed to cheer for. So, you know, Malcolm's the type of kid, I'm sure that doesn't bother him very much. So, you know, he's, you know, I know that Malcolm, obviously it's myself, Malcolm, and Jordan as a family when it comes to playing, and we all support each other. But obviously if he was playing against me, I'm sure he's not going to want to see me do well. So.
And then fake controversy number two. Now, it's been established that the Stanley Cup that was on stage with you and Seth Rogen was, in fact, a prop Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who came up with the idea to use the straw? Because I thought that was absolutely genius. Whether it's a fake cup or a real cup, you skirted the rules. It was brilliant. Who came up with that?
I actually just pulled it. It was funny. As I was walking out on the stage, they gave me the two pitchers of beer, and there were just straws on the tray. And I, you know, it wasn't part of the skit, but I figured I'd just throw them in my inside pocket and kind of just go with the flow. So I just snagged it. You know, whether it's you know, a fake cup or a real cup, I never touched it. So, you know, that was obviously important, and I was aware of that. So and actually, I just put the straw in, so I didn't even feel comfortable taking a sip. You know, but, it wasn't Molson beer, so I wasn't about to take a sip.
Oh,
that's the only beer I drink. How about that plug right there?
Oh, like very. Oh, promo a go go. Look at you, PK. last one here. We'll let you get on the ice and do your skate. A couple of years ago, I remember you were skating with Sean Monahan, now the Calgary Flames, and we were talking at Sportsnet of the Green Room. You said, I don't know why more people aren't talking about Sean Monahan. This guy is like elite. This guy is outstanding. This guy is a fantastic prospect. So clearly you have an eye for prospects. Is there anyone that you've been skating with this summer, maybe leading into next year's draft, that we should have our eye on?
You know what? I actually was skating with a kid last week. His last name's Sprong. I think he's
Daniel Sprong.
Yeah.
PEI. Yeah, he's good.
Very, very good hockey player. I had a chance to skate with him. He ended up being in Toronto, and a friend of mine knows him from Montreal, and he was looking for a skate in Toronto. Very skilled. You know, I just skated with him for an hour, but I didn't know who he was at the start, but by the end of the skate, I definitely wanted to know his name and who he was. And then I found out where he was rated and amongst his peers, and I wasn't at all surprised. He's a really good hockey player, and I'll be watching him closely.
He's a top 10. He plays for the Charlottetown Islanders, you're right, of the Quebec League. Hey, listen, thanks. Congrats on the deal. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Look forward to seeing you for 8 years and maybe more in a Montreal Canadiens uniform, PK.
All right. Thanks, guys.